Amen. Thank God for another worship experience, and thank God for another first Sunday as we now are partaking of our Lord's Supper. We're reading the scriptures from the screen, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30, and this is the paraphrased version of the Bible. For this is what the Lord himself has said about his table, and I pass it on to you before, that on the night when Judas betrayed him, the Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks to God for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new agreement between God and you that has been established and set in motion by my blood. Do this in remembrance of me whenever you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the message of the Lord's death, that he has died for you. Do this until he comes again. So if anyone eats this bread and drinks from this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, he is guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why a man should examine himself carefully before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. For if he eats the bread and drinks from the cup unworthily, not thinking about the body of Christ and what it means, he is eating and drinking God's judgment upon himself, for he is trifling with the death of Christ. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. Let us pray. Master, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for grace. We thank you, O God, for forgiveness. As we now look back at the day when you gave your life on the cross, you gave your hands, you gave your side, you gave your head, you gave yourself, you gave your back, you gave your feet, you gave your very being, because you so loved the world that you gave your only you was God's only son for as a sacrifice for our sins. And so we say thank you. Purge us and have mercy upon us, Lord, for we know you know we have not been we are not perfect beings, so we ask for mercy. We thank you, and we claim every victory that comes through communion, every healing. We thank you for spiritual, physical, and all the healing that it may bring to us, and we praise you, for we know that it was your body that was given for our sins. And we thank you right now. Forgive us and have mercy upon us as we respect and recognize and remember this sacrificial, you being our sacrificial lamb. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Amen. So at this time we are going to partake of our communion. And he took the bread, and the Bible says, after he had given thanks, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it, do it in remembrance of me." We say hallelujah to the Lamb and thank God for Jesus, for what he has done for us. And we praise the Lord for all his many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
touch with me. Yeah. No, how he tells me that I am his own.
Insurance. because we are aware that not only are we going to live, but one day we're going to die. And thus planning is important. We have to plan to live. We have to plan to die. We have to plan to live again. Because death is not the end. Death does not mean extinction. Death is that period by which we transfer from one place to another. But you don't just die, you should plan to die. Are you planning on dying? We plan to live. We plan to die. But we also plan to live again. In my Father's house, Jesus said, are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I do that, I will come again. Nobody knows when he comes back. No one knows when he picks the next flower. But whether his return is our going to him or him coming to us, it's all God. He decides who lives and how long. Jesus had just spoke to his disciples, and he talked to them about the fact that he was leaving. He said that Judas is going to betray me, my own disciple. Peter is going to deny me, and I'm going to die. Judas will betray me, Peter will deny me, and I'm going to die. The disciples were crushed as the one that they had followed for 3.5 years are now going to leave them. He said that little children, in verse 33, says that I'm only going to be with you for a little while. And he says, but then I'm going to be taken away. Isn't that the way life is? Mm. Okay. 95 years seem like a little while. Mm. It's really just a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. And he said, but there's one thing I want you all to do. He says that I want you all to love one another as I have loved you. Amen. Jesus here is talking to his little children. He says that I want you to love one another. It's good for family members to love one another. Jesus said, even as I have loved you. That's a tall order. To love one another the way that Jesus loved them. He says, and by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. This is how they're going to be able to tell who my children are, by loving one another. It doesn't matter how big your Bible is. It doesn't matter how long you go to church, how much you go to church, if there is no love. Jesus says, my children are marked by love. But he said, but now I'm going to leave you. And leaving is always rough. Amen. Whether you're talking about family members, or you're talking about having fun on a vacation, or whether you're talking about a friend, amen. Leaving told my wife that I almost wait for our grandchildren to come over because leaving is so hard. And I almost love it that they just didn't come. Leaving! Leaving is, amen, is when we depart. And that's what we've experienced here. Our family, our church family, as well as yours, are leaving of one of our precious members, Sister Holland. Well, Jesus said, I got good news. Don't let your heart be troubled. Now, if your heart is troubled, that means it's agitated. Amen. To be troubled. If your heart is troubled, that means that your heart is disturbed. And it's your heart, because that's where the center of your personality is. Someone said that is your heart. And he said, I don't want your heart to be troubled. If your heart is troubled, then that's going to mess up everything else. And everyone is responsible for the condition of his or own heart. Because he said, let not your heart be troubled. That means that you have some control over it. How do I do that, Jesus? Well, here is how you let not your heart be troubled. This is how you can keep your hearts from being troubled. He says, I go by knowing that I go to prepare a place for you. And that's good news. He says I'm leaving. It's hard, but you need to know that I'm going to prepare a place for you. Not just us, but for you. I'm going to, Jesus, prepare a place for each one of his disciples. He said, I'm leaving you, but I'm going somewhere. Where am I going? I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he said that that's the problem. They were having problems, but he says, but I got a promise that if I go and prepare a place for you, amen, I will come again. I'm promising you that I'm going to return. I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a prepared place. Amen. Heaven is just as real as Florida. Heaven is just as real as New York City. He says, there is a place called heaven. Amen. Are you going? Amen. He says, are you planning on going to heaven? Well, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come again. So I'm coming back, fellas. I want y'all to know I'm not going for good. I'm coming back. And I'm coming back. I'm coming back. That where I am, there ye may be also. And where I am, you will be. And he says, I'm going to allow you to be with me. I'm making plans for you to be with me. See, heaven is a prepared place, but it's for a prepared people. He said, I will come again and receive you, but you got to be prepared. Heaven is going to be prepared, but are you going to be prepared for heaven? Well, you said, how do you prepare? Well, he said, I'm going to get the place ready, but then you got to be ready when I come back. Because not everybody's going. And he says that, that's why Thomas asked the question. He said, Lord, how can we know where you're going? Where are you going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father's house but by me. That's how you get to heaven. By recognizing that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way to heaven. It's not that I know the way. It's not even that I have the way. It's not even that I can show you the way. But I am the way. You get me and you get to heaven. I'm not going to point to heaven and say heaven is over there or heaven is... I am the way. And I'm the truth. I'm going to speed this up. I believe. I am the truth. You see, I am the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Amen. I'm the embodiment of truth. I'm telling you the truth about how you can get to heaven. I'm not false, I'm true. Amen. He said, I am the way and I am the truth. And you know, I'm the only way you can get there, and I'm the truth about how to get there. I am the truth, and I am the light. You see, there are a lot of people think there are a lot of roads to heaven. They say all roads lead to heaven. Amen. They're not just picking religion. They're all talking about one God, and they all don't know. Yeah, that's a false, that's not the truth. You got to go in the right direction if you're going to heaven. Mm-hmm. And you got to be following the truth. Mm-hmm. And all roads don't lead to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way. I'm not one of the ways. I'm the only way. That sounds too narrow. Oftentimes, God, you know, it sounds kind of narrow. Well, the truth is, and then he says, I am the way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life, and I'm the life too. But it's a narrow way. You got the broad way, and then you got the narrow way. And the broad way leads to destruction, but the narrow way. Not many people walking the straight and narrow. And it's not about being a Baptist, it's about being born again. You gotta get saved and you got to, amen, follow his word and get baptized and live in a way that pleases God. He says, I am the way. You can't get into heaven without me. You need some blood to get into heaven. Because if you're going to get into my Father's house, somebody has to pay for your sins. And Jesus Christ paid for each one of his disciples' sins. Jesus paid for each one of our sins in this church. The one in the pulpit, because I'm a sinner just like you. The one over there with Howard, Phyllis, Charles, he's paying for sins. You want to pay for yours? Do you plan on seeing Jesus as I close? Amen. Because you have to plan to see him. You don't just automatically get to see him. Yes, we're going to die one day, but we're going in one of two directions. We're either going up or down. Jesus is up. Hell is down. And it's not a question that you have to think about because you know already. I ask you a question. Do you plan on seeing Jesus? That's what he asked me to ask us, and me too. I plan on seeing Jesus. He said, well, ask them, are they planning on seeing Jesus? Do you plan on seeing Jesus? You know already. It ain't something you got to think about. You know right now if you plan on seeing Jesus. You know how you know? By answering the question. Have you made plans to see Jesus? If you haven't made plans to see Jesus, you're not going to see Jesus. You don't just get to see Jesus. You got to make plans. You got to make preparations. You got to make reservations for salvation. Plans have to be made. It's intentional. It's a choice. And you already know. What's your answer? Ask yourself and answer it to yourself. When I say, do you plan on seeing Jesus? Have you made plans on seeing Jesus already? If you have not, then maybe you don't plan to see it. But as I close, the reason why I want you to plan to see Jesus, because the message that he gave me was, amen, are you planning on seeing Jesus? And that's a good thing. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by him. He's the only way to heaven. Not many roads to heaven, one way. And you have to answer the question. Because if you plan on seeing Jesus, I can tell you without a doubt that if you plan on seeing Jesus, then you plan on seeing one of the hollow. Because that's where she is. Heaven is a place prepared for prepared people. Have you ever hated to leave somebody and want to see them again? Death is not the end. Death does not mean extinction. Somebody said death may hide, but it cannot divide. If you know Jesus like Wanda knew Jesus, then when you see Jesus, you will see Wanda. I'm not making this up. When you read the Bible, when you get home, Matthew 17 and 3, you'll find out that when Peter was up on the mountain, he went to the mountain and he saw Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. And all of a sudden, while he was on the mountain, guess who showed up? I didn't like this. Moses and Elijah. Yeah, I said Moses. You said, didn't Moses die 2,000 years? Yes, he did. Didn't Elijah die about 1,700 years ago? Yes. Well, 1,700 years ago prior to the days of Jesus. So you have another 2,000 under there. He's supposed to be gone 1,000-some years. And according to the Bible, I can tell you on the authority of God's word that you haven't seen Wanda Holland for the last time. I'm talking about Wanda Maxine Holland. And you haven't seen Wanda Denise Holland by Michael. She is with her daughter. And if you, that's what the Bible teaches. And we like that somebody who said, oh, I want to see him. Do you want to see him? Look upon his face. They are to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares are past, home at last. Never to rejoice. Ever to rejoice. No more pain, no more sorrow, sickness, nursing home, no more hospitals. Oh, yes. Jesus says, I have prepared a place for you all, fellas. If you plan on seeing me, there's going to be a reunion with everyone else who has made plans. Yes, you have to make plans to see Jesus. You have to make reservations for salvation. Amen. You have to plan to die. Do you plan on dying? If you plan on dying, that's a good plan because you're going to die. But what are you doing about the direction that you're going to go in? And as sad as we may feel today, the fact is that we don't need to be sad. Because this is not where the story, this ain't how the story ends. I mean, you just walked in on the process. God is not through with us. He's coming all the way back to get our bodies. That means he's not through yet. Death, it ain't over. The Bible says that you ought to rejoice when someone, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It says rejoice when someone dies. And cry when they're born. I guess since you've been aware, you found out why, haven't you? I have. You come into a sinful world, but one day we are going to the land of no more. There will be new bodies. You won't hear Sister Biden complain about they thought I was an ugly duckling. Everyone is going to be perfect. Everyone is going to be howdy, as the old people used to say, and never goodbye. And so shall you ever be with the Lord. You shall have everlasting life, life everlasting, never ending life, eternal life, is what the Bible calls it. Yes, that's where we're headed, and that's where she's already gone. And we are looking forward to putting death behind, because death ruins, death messes up families, death hurts people, death brings sorrow. I'm glad that our Savior conquered what hurts us most, death. Man's worst nightmare. Have you ever thought about why Jesus came? His main reason for coming was to take away our sins so that he could destroy death. And death, which is what don't nobody want to have anything to do with. Death is an intruder in our lives. Taking our husbands, taking our loved ones, taking our children, taking folks, take. But Jesus says, I came to give death a black eye. I came to destroy death. Oh, grave, where is your victory? Oh, death! What happened, death? It's not working anymore, is it? You know why? Because I conquered it. I conquered death. And so now we'll spend eternity with the Lord. And we're getting ready to release, amen, balloons. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. It gives us encouragement. We don't have to be troubled. And yes, I plan on seeing you.